Hello, everyone. This is Michael Jones, Mortgage Mike, and I'm here to bring you another mortgage industry update and a discussion about how you can make a mortgage work for you. As of the airing of this, Wednesday, August the 13th, I wanted to give you a brief market update to let you know what's going on out there. Mortgage rates have remained fairly stable for the last few weeks, and primarily they're being kept in check, kept from going up or kept from going down based on what's happening with Russia and Ukraine, Gaza and the Middle East. There's a lot of tension, especially ISIS now, and the U.S. appears to be getting involved somewhat militarily with airstrikes. And all that to say, any time that there is market destabilization and there's fear in the markets, people will transition from stocks into bonds, which is always good for mortgage rates. And so if you're ever sitting there watching the news or watching CNBC and wondering, okay, you know, what is this piece of news or what is this earnings report going to do for mortgage rates, just know that good economic news tends to be bad for mortgage rates, and poor economic news or world conflict tends to be good because people flock to the United States Treasuries as a safe haven for their money, which in turn is good for mortgage rates. Okay, so that's a brief update on what's going on. And today I want to talk to you about refinancing your home. If you've owned a home for a number of years, it's very likely that you've either refinanced or thought about refinancing. And there's a little bit of apprehension sometimes for folks to refinance for the first time because they think maybe they need to come up with some money, they have questions about whether or not it makes sense financially. And so I'm hoping that I can answer all those today in our segment. The first question I get quite a bit is, by refinancing, can I drop my private mortgage insurance, or PMI, or my monthly mortgage insurance if you have an FHA loan? And it just depends on a number of factors. And sometimes you can actually drop PMI without having to refinance. Usually you have to carry PMI on a loan until you have 20% equity in the property. If you don't have 20% equity in the property, you have to continue to pay that mortgage insurance until your loan balance is 80% of the value of the home. The same is used to be true for FHA, but they have actually changed the rules in June of 2013. And if you have a 30-year FHA mortgage, it's very likely that you may have to pay that mortgage insurance for the entire life of the loan. So that may make sense for you to refinance into a conventional loan just to drop that FHA mortgage insurance. Now, I mentioned just a moment ago that you may be able to drop that PMI without refinancing. And the way that you can do this is to contact your current lender. It may be Chase or Wells Fargo. It may be a smaller bank. And you can ask them, hey, I would like for you to do an appraisal on my home to determine if I have 20% equity in the home. Now, not every company will do this, and it will depend on the insurance company, that private mortgage insurance company that you're currently working with and making payments to, but they may be willing to drop your PMI if an appraisal report shows that you have 20% equity in the property. And it's important to let them do it because they will not accept an appraisal report that you pay for and deliver to them. They want to have their own folks go out there and run the report. So that's a quick look at PMI and mortgage monthly mortgage insurance with an FHA loan, and that alone can be reason to refinance a home. In fact, this past Friday, I closed a loan for somebody who had an FHA loan, and they had an FHA renovation loan, and it actually saved them about $270 a month to refinance from that FHA loan into a conventional loan because they had about 30% equity in the property after the renovations. In fact, they even lowered their interest rate from where they were about 9 to 10 months ago. So it was a slam dunk win for them, and they're now saving about $270 a month, which can be huge for your budget, as well as just saving you interest over time. The next thing I want to talk about is a tax strategy with refinancing your home. Many times we think of a mortgage as just something that we have to pay, a necessary evil to own that home that we want to live in. But the truth of the matter is that you can actually refinance a home and save on your taxes. Usually the best way to do this is with a cash-out refinance here in the state of Texas. You may also have heard of it called a 50A6 loan because that's a section of the Constitution that deals with cash-out refinances in Texas. And one strategy that can make a lot of sense is taking money out of your home to pay down your credit card debt, to pay down your student loan debt, and to pay down outstanding, let's say, car notes, because student loan debt is capped at about $2,500 worth of interest, and that is an above-the-line deduction, meaning that your taxes are still going to be calculated even after you take that $2,500. And so if you're a student, or even if you went to a private university, or maybe you were in school for a long time, it's very possible that you're not getting the maximum deduction possible by just paying those student loans down. Same is true with car loans and with credit card debt. If you are making monthly payments on high balances, the interest that you're paying to those banks is not tax deductible because it's personal debt. However, the IRS and Congress provides an incentive to homeowners to own a home, and so they allow that any interest that you pay on your mortgage is tax deductible. And so it may make a lot of sense for you to do a cash-out refinance, pull money out of your home, tax-free to pull it out, and pay down this debt, and you can get a higher interest deduction because of this mortgage. That's talked about somewhat, but a lot of folks, especially now that we're considering going back to school, they may want to consider this option to send their students to college instead of paying 6 or 8% on a student loan, if not higher. Another thing that you can do with a refinance is a renovation refinance. And if you joined us a few weeks ago, we talked about renovation refinances and how that can be a really great opportunity for you to not only lower your interest rate, but also roll the cost of renovating your home into the loan. The example that I gave last week was that I have an individual here in Dallas who purchased a home, and there needed to be some upgrades to the kitchen and bathrooms and floors and things like that. And she was able to refinance her home and roll about $30,000 worth of renovations into the loan balance and make the home much more appealing, much more livable. She increased her tax deductions because she had a higher loan balance. She had a $100,000 increase in the value of her home as evidenced by an appraisal. And she rolled the cost of refinancing entirely into the loan balance. So she was able to do all of that with zero out of pocket. And that is true for all refinances. If you're considering a refinance, you're able to roll the entire cost of refinancing into the loan balance. So you can save money every single month and do it with zero out of pocket. We're going to take a short break. My name is Michael Jones. I am Mortgage Mike with Georgetown Mortgage, and you're listening to No Place Like Home. Playing up downstairs, sister's sighing in her sleep.
Brother's got a night to keep, he can't hang around. Have you taken time to plan for your financial future? Or have you not really given it much thought at all? And maybe even avoided it? Hi, I'm Angela Tweeten, known as the Lucrative Lady, Making Money Simple. I help people break down all of the financial lingo and rules so that they can understand the velocity of money and then plan for, capture, and enjoy their later years. Check me out at thelucrativelady.com.
This is Michael Jones with Georgetown Mortgage, where we're community-minded just like you. Georgetown Mortgage offers a variety of mortgage products ranging from first-time home buyers to renovation loans all the way to reverse mortgages. If you'd like more information, please visit us online at TexasHomeLoanPro.com. TexasHomeLoanPro.com. Hello everyone, this is Michael Jones, Mortgage Mike, and we are back from the break. I hope you guys enjoyed the commercials and will enjoy the rest of the show that we have. Wanted to just mention again that I have been giving a little bit of tax advice and a little bit of financial planning advice, and while I'm not a financial planner, I am actually a CPA and have extensive tax experience. So some of this information that I'm providing to you is firsthand knowledge. It's information I've researched, and I'm not just somebody that is just spouting off information. So just thought I would make a note of that. Some important questions that came up during the break that I thought I would answer. One is, you know, the tax advantages of refinancing your home, and let's say that you do a cash-out refinance. It's important to let your tax preparer know this information as you go into the filing season. As a reminder, taxes are due April 15th, and so when you're working with your tax preparer, you want to make sure that you've let them know that, hey, you know, I have a new mortgage statement, you know, this has a higher loan balance, and that way they'll know to incorporate that extra interest that you've been paying on your tax return, because you certainly don't want to miss an interest deduction, which can go a long way in lowering the amount that you have to pay to the IRS. Another great question that came in is, where should I be keeping these papers, whether you're completing a refinance now or maybe just trying to store this information for the future? And while most of this information that you receive at a closing table, such as your note and deed of trust, things like that, the bank has a copy of, if the loan is sold or if enough time has passed, it's very possible that the bank may no longer need those documents for themselves. And so it's important for you to consider safe places to put your note, your deed of trust, a survey, and just some of the other loan document papers that you receive. One place to put these is a fireproof safe in the house or a fireproof cabinet, maybe in a closet or out of the way. None of that information would necessarily be important in the event of a burglary. There's no risk of you losing something like that, but you certainly want to make sure that those papers are handy in the event that you have any questions. In the instance of a survey, that can actually save you about $400 whether you are selling your home or considering a refinance, because surveys are going for about $400 here in the DFW area. And that's definitely important to keep on hand, because it is required on every single transaction. I thought this might be a great time to talk about the documents that are needed in a refinance. It will look very similar to the documents that you had to provide to your mortgage professional when you purchased your home. You need to credit and income qualify, which means that they will pull a credit report, and they will need to see your tax returns for the last 2 years that you filed with the IRS, your W-2s or 1099s, anything that documents the income that you received. They will need to see pay stubs if you're currently working to document that your salary is what we are reporting. And they'll want to see a bank account just to show that you possibly have reserves sitting in the accounts to make sure that if there was ever an event where you fell on hard times or anything like that, that you would have sufficient reserves to pay for that mortgage for about a month or two. They're not always required to show reserves in the bank, but it's always good to have those handy. In addition to those credit and income documents, you will need to have a survey. You will need to have your previous note and deed of trust whenever you purchased or refinanced the home for the last time, because the mortgage company needs to make sure that if it was just a standard loan or a standard refinance, that's fine, but it's possible it could be a Texas cash out or a Texas 50A6 loan. And if that's the case, the saying goes, once a cash out, always a cash out. Meaning, even if you were to refinance again after you had done a cash out loan, that has to still be treated as a cash out. The interest rate will probably be a little bit higher, even if you're not pulling money out again. So it's important to note that if you're considering doing a cash out or you have done a cash out before, there's some nuances to those loans that you'll want to talk to a mortgage professional about. And of course, I'm always happy to answer those questions. Another question I get quite often is, does it make sense for me to consider an adjustable rate mortgage? And if you have been paying attention to interest rates for the past decade, anyone that was an adjustable rate mortgage for the long term benefited greatly from an ARM, is what they're called, adjustable rate mortgage. And the reason being that every single year after a fixed period of time, that loan's interest rate will actually adjust to whatever the market is doing. And typically that's based on the LIBOR, which is just a financial term and has some backing, but the LIBOR is what really dictates what ARMs are doing. And you can find the LIBOR by looking at the Wall Street Journal, looking online, and seeing what that rate is. In the last 3 to 4 years, refinancing or purchasing a home with an ARM has become a little bit more questionable, because we are at a period of time where interest rates have never been this low historically. And so interest rates can only go up from this point. And so if you're considering an ARM or an adjustable rate mortgage, it's very important to have your timeline down, because an adjustable rate mortgage can be fixed for a number of years. The standard years are 3, 5, 7, and 10 years where that adjustable rate mortgage will be fixed. The rate will not go up or down. After that period of time, the rate is allowed to adjust according to what the LIBOR is doing. In my experience and what I see coming in the future, that means that the interest rate will only go up. And so if you are in your first home, I probably wouldn't recommend an adjustable rate mortgage, because you never know how long you're going to be there. However, let's say you're moving to a second home, or let's say that your kids are maybe 2, 3, 4 years down the line from leaving the home for college or just to start their own lives. That may be a good time to consider an adjustable rate mortgage, because you may sell the home after they leave, and you could sell the home before the adjustment occurs. And so it may make a lot of sense to do an ARM. I speak to my clients with a lot of caution about these, because while the adjustments are usually capped at about 1% higher every single year, it can put you in a financial position that you do not want to be in over time. And it could mean that you either have to refinance the home again, which can cost thousands of dollars, or it may mean that you even have to sell your home if you can't afford the monthly mortgage payment, and you certainly don't want to be in a position like that. So there are great times to consider an adjustable rate mortgage, but sometimes there's not, and you definitely want to have a very candid conversation about what your time frame looks like to be in that home. Okay, so we've gone over a lot of information, and I just want to take a minute or two to recap everything that we've discussed today. The first thing is the difference between PMI and MMI in the ability to drop the private mortgage insurance payment or a monthly mortgage insurance payment by refinancing. You can save hundreds of dollars a month doing that, and now may be the right time with the increase in the market values that you're going to capture from a new appraisal. Luckily, we can use that higher value when determining the max ratios that we need to be at. The next thing to consider is the tax strategies. If you do a cash-out refinance and pay off your personal debt, you can take an interest deduction that you normally couldn't take by using the proceeds from your home, which are tax-free, and paying down your personal debt, such as student loans, car loans, and credit card debt, and take an interest deduction on your upcoming tax return. Again, we discussed a little bit of renovation refinancing. Not only can you save money each month depending on what your previous rate was, but you can also roll the cost of renovating the home into the loan balance with zero out-of-pocket. We discussed briefly ARMs and fixed rate mortgages. And depending on what your current situation is, it could make sense to consider an ARM. The interest rates are about 1% or more lower than a standard fixed rate, and you could lock in that lower interest rate for 3, 5, 7, or 10 years before it will adjust. And again, that may make a lot of sense for you, but we would want to have a lengthy discussion to make sure that you weren't placed in a situation that you weren't comfortable with years down the line. And finally, just to conclude the discussion, I want to make sure I clarify that in the state of Texas, you actually can do a refinance with zero out-of-pocket. And you can do that by rolling the cost of refinancing the loan into the loan balance. So let's say you have a $150,000 mortgage left and you want to lower your interest rate. You can roll the several thousand dollars that it will take, whether it's escrow for your property taxes and insurance or the appraisal or title, into that loan balance and have a higher loan balance, but come to the closing table with zero out-of-pocket, which can be incredibly attractive, especially considering that you may be lowering your mortgage payment by a few hundred dollars. If you have any questions at all about refinancing your home, or you'd like some more information about refinancing your home, feel free to give me a call at 972-432-6556. Again, that number was 972-432-6556. You can find us on Facebook at Texas Home Loan Pro, or visit our website at www.texashomeloanpro.com. We'd be happy to answer any questions that you might have, and you can even fill out an online application for free. It just takes about 10 minutes of your time. I hope you enjoyed today's discussion. I look forward to meeting with you again in a few weeks, and stay tuned, because we're going to have a realtor join us next time. They're going to give us a market update on what's going on in DFW and give you some advice about either staging, or selling your home and possibly even purchasing your home, because it definitely pays to use a realtor when you're engaging in a real estate transaction. Thank you again for joining us today on Mortgage Mike with Georgetown Mortgage. We look forward to seeing you next time.